Hello, I'm Francine, host of Coping to Care, a podcast series sponsored by Blue Sea Care that features guests who share their expertise and life experiences to empower our loved ones in the community. Our aim is to serve as a relevant, genuine, and entertaining resource to help you triumph over the seismic changes resulting from COVID-19. Our police departments across the country serve us in so many positive ways, including their outreach to help seniors. Today, we'd like to welcome Sergeant Nick Nicholas from the Seal Beach Police Department, who will tell us how they help to protect seniors from becoming victims of crime such as burglary, fraud, and con gamers who target vulnerable seniors. Welcome, Sergeant Nicholas.
Hi, Francine. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, of course. We look forward to hearing all your great information. Now, what are some common sense precautions that seniors can take to prevent becoming a victim of crime?
Sure. That's a really good question, Francine. I appreciate you asking. Let me tell you a little bit about the Seal Beach Police Department first, though. So for the listeners out there who aren't familiar with Seal Beach, we're located in the very western part of Orange County. So we border with the cities of Long Beach, which is actually in LA County, and then also Huntington Beach to the south, Los Alamitos and Rossmore to the north. So the reason why I think this is a super important topic is because at Seal Beach, we have a lot of experience working with senior citizens. About 40% of our population is over the age of 60. And we know that sometimes seniors can be targeted and can be very vulnerable to crime, especially when people want to take advantage of them. So as far as common sense ways that seniors can help becoming victims of crime, it really comes down to just paying attention and being aware of your surroundings. So I'll give you a couple different calls that we normally go on. Well, very frequently we'll go on calls that talk about fraud or con artists, and I'll touch on that in a minute. But another one of the calls that we go on pretty frequently is involving scams where somebody will try to distract a senior citizen. And it's not always senior citizens that fall victim to this. I've seen people from all different ages fall victim to this. So what will happen typically is somebody will be shopping at a grocery store and they might leave their purse or their backpack on the shopping cart. And then somebody will approach and ask questions about a specific topic or how to pick out a piece of fruit, something like that. And then as they're engaged talking to this individual, another individual will come up and very sneaky and definitely on the sly will come and either grab the wallet out of the purse or grab the purse entirely or pickpocket the victim. And the victim has no idea that it happened because they were so distracting talking to this other person. So one of the best ways that people can protect themselves is just to be aware of their surroundings. So we don't want people to go out and be paranoid and always looking over their shoulder, but it is a good idea just to know who's around you and what's going on.
Very good. Yes, I know. I had an elderly mother who passed away a couple of years ago, and she would have people come up to her. You know, she'd still drive, and they'd say, "Oh, your tire. You need to fix your tire. We can do that for you." And she was smart enough to say, "No, I think my tire is just fine." But right, they'll try to maybe take off with your car or charge you for something that doesn't need to be done. So good point about
Being aware of your, you know, there certainly are good people out there and there's good Samaritans. And I think the vast majority of people in our communities are good and caring people. But unfortunately, there are those people that want to take advantage of vulnerable populations, such as senior citizens or people who are maybe more trusting than others. So that's a perfect example. We've had those scams as well where, you know, somebody will be parked in a parking lot and a scam artist will come up and say, "Oh my goodness, your tires are bald," or "I noticed you had a dent. I can fix that right now for you." And before they know it, the victim's on the hook for thousands of dollars for services that were never rendered.
Right, right. So how should seniors protect their homes to feel safe?
Sure. Well, I think probably the best thing to do is just use common sense. So lock your doors. You know, in Seal Beach, we commonly say that people think it's Mayberry by the sea, and it's Seal Beach is definitely a very safe community, and we're lucky to work and live here. But there's still bad people out there, and it's easy to get complacent, and it's easy to forget that You know, there are bad people who are willing to do bad things. So I think the first thing is lock your house and lock your car. I can't tell you how many crimes we have in Seal Beach that are crimes of opportunity. For instance, somebody will park their car in the street, leave their laptop or their purse or their shopping bags on the front seat in plain view, and then leave their car unlocked. And then the next morning they wake up and they go outside and they discover their property stolen. Mm-hmm. Which really shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, because if you just take a couple extra steps, that's take your belongings aside and lock your cars, then that theft could have been avoided altogether. Another thing to do is install security cameras. There's so many different vendors out there, Ring, a ton of different companies. Google has cameras that will, they're basically just plug and play. You stick them up to the wall or you install them in your house or on your doorbell, and they'll capture people who come to your door. I have one on my own doorbell, and it's awesome. Every time, you know, Amazon gets a package delivered, I know about it. When somebody's knocking on my door, I can see them and interact with them. So I'm not endorsing one specific brand over the other. They're all very good, and they're all very helpful. I think for two reasons. One, they'll help deter crime, because a criminal may be less likely to commit a crime, such as a package theft from a porch, if they know that there's a recording. Mm-hmm. And if a theft does happen, then it gives the police something to go on, or at least some initial information about the suspect to try to find him or her.
Oh, good idea. And if they don't know how to do it, they can ask a neighbor, or maybe they can call the police department, ask them to help.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't have anybody that can help you, please call the police department. I can promise you that, and any professional police department in the United States, there's going to be some community-oriented policing team that's willing and able to go out and help you with those sort of things.
Wonderful. Now, how do you watch out? Well, you talked a little bit about this, but how do you watch out for frauds and con artists?
So I think the best rule of thumb is, if it seems too good to be true, it is too good to be true. There's really nothing for free that you get in the world. So if something seems like you're super lucky or something incredible happened, chances are it's just too good to be true, and you should look the other way. I'll give you a couple examples of this. Oftentimes, people will get emails from saying that they won a lottery, or that there was some sort of error with their bank, or that their accounts have been compromised, and they'll need to provide information either over the phone or over email to some person who's actually a con artist. So we see this a couple different ways. With the lottery scams, we'll see something like, well, congratulations, your name has been randomly selected. We're going to give you $200,000. But in order to collect this money, you need to pay us a deposit of $1,000 so that we know that your banking information is correct and we'll be able to transfer those funds to you. So then the victim will provide their bank account information, bank numbers, routing numbers, social security numbers, all those personal identifying pieces of information, thinking that they're going to make a deposit and then in turn get, you know, $200,000 or whatever the amount is. But after their initial $1,000 is gone, they never heard from the person again. And from the police perspective, those types of calls are incredibly difficult to investigate, because often they're perpetrated by suspects who are overseas, and there's really no way for us to follow up on that. A couple of things. We often hear about the grandma I'm in jail scam, and that happens pretty frequently. What will happen is a con artist will look up your personal identifying information online, and it's absolutely terrifying how much information about everybody is online. If you try hard enough, you can find people's social security numbers, places of birth, relatives, former addresses, telephone numbers. There's an incredible amount of information that's online that if you're savvy enough with a computer, you can find that information. So they'll call and they'll say, you know, oh my God, this is your grandson. I've been arrested for a DUI, or I took a trip down to Tijuana and I got arrested by the police there, and I need you to send me money for bail. Well, if the victim doesn't recognize the voice, then they might say, oh, well, you know, I was loud and I was screaming, so, or I have a cold, so my voice is a little bit different, but I need you to wire me money for bail. Well, it turns out that nobody was actually arrested, and the person that was claiming to be the grandkid is perfectly safe in their home, was never arrested, and it's just a complete scam. And then, you know, the victim will send money or send a check for bail, or sometimes they'll say, you know, we can't accept a check, or we can't accept a Western Union. You have to go out and buy, you know, $500 worth of Amazon gift cards, or you have to buy eBay gift cards or Green Dot cards or something like that. I can promise you there's no government entity in the country that is going to accept a gift card for a payment for any services. It just doesn't work that way. So whenever something like that happens, or, you know, somebody offers to fix your computer, or they say you have a virus and your computer needs to be fixed, just take a moment and think about it. And I'm sorry to say, but it's probably best practice just to be cautious about it and not believe everything that you see or read. Check, verify sources, check with your loved ones, talk to somebody who might be a little bit more computer savvy and ask if this is true. One of the big clues that we see is that you might get an email from somebody claiming to be your bank. Let's say you bank with Wells Fargo, and the email will look very much like an actual email from Wells Fargo. It'll have, and it's happened to me. I've seen these emails before, and at first glance you think, oh my goodness, you know, my account has been hacked or there's some sort of issue, call this number. And if you don't look carefully, you'd assume that this is just a righteous email from your banking institution. But what I do, every time I get an email like that, I look at who it came from. So I look at the email address from which it was sent. And if it's something at wellsfargo.com, then I have a pretty good idea that it actually came from Wells Fargo. But if it's at something else that's not Wells Fargo or a series of numbers or letters or something like that, then I'm confident right away that this is a scam, and I just immediately delete it. When in doubt, always call your bank or call somebody who's more computer savvy or call your relatives or loved ones. Just do whatever you can to verify information before giving out your personal identifying information over the phone or by email, because once you give that information out, there's no way to get it back.
I totally agree. Now, yes, I can just use the example of my own mother, and she lived to almost 90. Wow. So she got a lot of calls, and I finally got to the point where I said, Mom, if somebody comes to the door or if someone calls you, just tell them, let me check with my daughter. I need to check with my daughter. My daughter is, you know, always on my case, and she wants me to check with her first. But sometimes she would forget. So, but I like the idea of check with your loved ones, or I have a friend in the police department. I want to check with my friend in the police department first before I make that decision. So that we really need to instill that in our seniors, that just, you know, nothing needs to be done this moment. Say, I'm going to have to check with my, you know, family member first. So
right,
good,
absolutely.
Good points.
Nothing's ever that critical or time sensitive that you couldn't take a few moments to make her call. And when in doubt, you could always call us, and you know, you'll speak to one of the dispatchers or ask to speak with an officer and run the scenario or the situation by him or her. And we have a pretty good sense of what's going on in our community, and we'll be able to tell you pretty quickly whether or not we think it's legitimate. You know, think about it from the bad guy's perspective. It's just a numbers game for them. Mm-hmm. And if they sit in a room and they work 12-hour shifts and they make, you know, however many phone calls a day, or they send however many phone calls during that shift, even if one person bites on it, even if they're able to trick one person, then they've earned their keep for that day, right? So it's just a numbers game. They do this all day long, and eventually they'll get somebody to fall for it. So please, please don't be that person that actually falls for it.
Right. And then also they approach many times with a sense of urgency, which is so disturbing, that they would, you've got to do this today, or, you know, otherwise this is going to happen. So they scare our poor seniors. And I just, people like that, I just don't understand, you know. But anyway,
Yeah, it's really sad. And that's, you bring up a really good point with the urgency, especially with the grandma I'm in jail scam. You know, you don't want your loved ones in jail. You want to get them out of jail as soon as possible. But you can take a few minutes just to make a phone call and find out. Or, you know, if you have nobody to call or you try to get a hold of somebody and you can't, call the police department itself. We'll tell you whether or not we have somebody in custody. And if we do, then you go through that. But don't ever just do it over the phone with somebody. Take a moment to think about it first.
Right. Think about it. Great.
Blue Sea Care provides comprehensive care management to seniors and their families. Services include complete physical care for seniors who want to maintain their independence and state of health. The caregiving is combined with Art to Wellness, a program which uses the therapeutic benefits of the arts to assist with cognitive care for seniors. You can learn more about Blue Sea Care's programs at www.blueseacare.com.
And then on this next subject, which is troubling, but what are some domestic violence prevention tips for seniors and their loved ones? I know this is a heavy topic.
Yeah, this is a heavy topic. And unfortunately, we do see instances of domestic violence, both with younger and older populations. It happens to everyone. It happens in rich communities, in less rich communities. It happens all over the place. And it's hard to, you know, determine when or when it's not going to happen. It could be with somebody who's just started dating the other person, or it could happen with somebody who's been married for 50 or 60 years. You just don't know. So I think the most important thing to remember here is that domestic violence is never okay. It's never okay for somebody that you live with or are married to or dating or cohabitating or in any type of relationship to ever lay their hands on you without your consent. Never be able to hurt you. It's never okay. It's not okay once. It's not okay twice. It's never okay. And oftentimes we see this circle with victims where, you know, somebody will be victimized by their loved ones, and then immediately the loved one will, or I'm sorry, the perpetrator will apologize, and things will be great. And we call it the honeymoon phase, because after that, you know, it's very loving and it's very gentle and it's very caring. But a week will go by, or a couple weeks will go by, or a month will go by, and then we'll see another incident where there's another incident of violence. Mm-hmm. And then this circle just continues and continues and it continues again. So that's why it's very important to stop that circle right away. Now, I know it's hard, especially if you've been with somebody for a long time or you think you're reliant on them financially or for a place to live, but I can assure you that there's services out there. There's services for victims. There's services for people who are victims of domestic violence, who are victims of abuse. And there's safeguards in place where you will be protected if you report it. And I know it might be difficult to report somebody that you love very much for doing something wrong, but it's absolutely critical, because we tend to see these instances escalate. We see the violence always ramp up. It always goes higher and higher and higher and higher until something really bad happens. So when we get a call of domestic violence, we'll go out, we'll contact the involved parties. In California, the law mandates that if we're able to establish probable cause that a domestic violence has occurred, we are mandated to make an arrest.
Wow.
So the reason that is in a lot of avenues of police work, or we have a lot of discretion. So when we pull somebody up, the ability to decide whether or not we're going to issue a warning or write that person a ticket, right? But when it comes to domestic violence, the state takes this very, very seriously, and we are mandated to make an arrest if we feel that there's probable cause to make an arrest. So then what happens? Well, generally, we'll get an emergency protective order, which will keep the aggressor away from the victim for a certain amount of time. We might try to relocate the victim to a safe place or a safe shelter, and then eventually it will go to court, and the court will have a ton more resources for victims as well. So the important thing to remember with domestic violence is it's never okay, and please, please, please report it to us, because if we don't know what's happening, we can't do anything to keep you safe.
So what are some tips, like, for the most innocent, like frail elderly and frail children who can't speak for themselves?
Sure. And that's where really it comes to family members or caretakers. You know, sometimes we'll see violence perpetrated not necessarily by a loved one, but by a caretaker. for whatever reason. And it doesn't necessarily even have to be violence. It could be fiduciary elder abuse, where they're siphoning money from the person that they're supposed to be caring from. So that's really where family comes into play. And it's important to talk with your loved ones, especially if they are maybe beginning to have some memory issues or confusion, is to talk to them, explain to them that it's not okay, check them for signs of bruising, take a look at their financials to make sure that things are okay. It's important to keep an eye on people, because even for those that we trust very, very much, you never know when something happens in their life to make them do something that they wouldn't normally do.
Good. And the organization I represent, Blue Sea Care, they do background checks on all their people. So they're fingerprinted. So, you know, if you're going to have a caregiver, go through an organization like Blue Sea Care, where they do background checks, and don't just hire someone off of Craigslist, right?
Yeah, I think it's important whenever you get somebody who you're inviting into your home, you know who they are, especially if they're providing care for you. You know, it's not just caregivers, but oftentimes we'll see, you know, people who are remodeling their home or people who are doing construction, where they'll invite them into their home and then they'll leave and not secure any of their valuables. And then they come back and they'll notice that their laptop is gone or something is gone. And then we ask them, well, who was in your home? And they'll say, oh, I don't know. It was a plumber, or it was somebody that was claimed to be doing an inspection, but I didn't get his or her name or anything like that. So it makes it incredibly difficult for us to help solve those crimes.
Right. Yeah. It just reminds me of the just disappointed me, but my mom, I set up a carpet cleaning for her, and they took maybe like 20 minutes to shampoo the entire house. They made her, you know, this woman almost 90, run to the bank and get cash. And I said, you left them in the house where you were at the bank, Mom? And it's like, oh gosh. So that's kind of when I got to the point where I need to be there. And, you know, because people will take advantage of seniors. And yeah. So.
In a heartbeat. You know, another thing that we've seen pretty often is, we'll see, you know, somebody who's claiming to be a young mother or somebody who's fallen on hard times, and they'll try to appeal to the motherly instinct or the grandmotherly or even fatherly instinct of seniors and say, you know, I'm having a hard time, I'm struggling with this, and they'll lay out this really, really tragic sob story, which is all completely made up, to try to get you to give them money or, you know, add them to your bank account or something like that. So I hate to say it, and it's so sad, but we see so many instances where seniors and not only seniors, but we see everybody will get tricked by these people because the victims are good people themselves and they really want to help, but bad people take advantage of good people. Mm-hmm. And from our perspective at the police department, we want to make sure that bad people don't do good things to bad people, but it makes it so, so difficult because these crimes are so terribly hard to investigate, especially when somebody's willingly giving somebody money. Well, you willingly gave them money, but it was by false pretenses. So there are certain crimes there, but they're very difficult for us to investigate. So it's best just never to let them happen in the first place.
Right. And then just check on your elderly one if you're a family member, because, for example, my mom had this, like you were saying, this young woman that kept coming over with books and different things for my mom. And so the next time I was there, I said, introduce me to this person. I want to see who she is. It turned out she was a sweetheart, complete angel with a couple kids, and she was just wanting to help elderly, and she was the real deal. Sure. So I have to say that there are some really kind people who are genuine, definitely genuine. And I think that's the majority, but there are those in between that, you know, don't have good intentions.
And how do you find out? How do you find out really until sometimes it's too late, because somebody could be just a really good person with very good intentions, or they could be a bad person with bad intentions that's masquerading as a good person. And until it's too late, you might not know about it. So that's why it's good to be open, and it's good to be giving. It's good to be a good person, but just be cautious and take a moment to think about it.
Right. Proceed with caution.
Yep.
So how do you find out about neighborhood activity? And I know that you have something new that's going on with the Seal Beach Police Department?
Yeah, so one of the really cool ways that I think a lot of police departments, including the Seal Beach Police Department, are connecting with the community is through social media. And if you're not on social media, I think it might be a good idea at the very least just to check out your local police department on social media, because we put a ton of information out about things that are going on in the community. So I think traditionally police departments have relied on traditional media like the local news or the local newspaper to get information out there. But sometimes that's slow. Sometimes it gets, you know, buried in the back page of the paper, or the television news will only show a clip of it and it's not hyper local to Seal Beach. So what the Seal Beach Police Department has done is that we've really increased our presence on social media. So what is that? That's namely Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So if you go to facebook.com or instagram.com or twitter.com and search for the Seal Beach Police Department, or search for whatever town or city or municipality that you live in, whether it's the sheriff's department or the police department there, they'll probably have a presence on social media. So at Seal Beach, we put out things as they happen. So for instance, there's a traffic accident and the roadway is going to be closed for a little while. We'll put that on social media. Or we'll say, hey, we've been noticing that there's been a lot of thefts from unlocked vehicles in this particular neighborhood. Here's a reminder to, you know, take your valuables out of your car and lock your doors. Or we'll say, you know, at Seal Beach, we'll go, well, look at this funny call that happened. A couple days ago, a Good Samaritan located a pair of dentures on the sand and then turned those into the police department. So we put that out there saying, if you lost your dentures, come pick them up. We have them safe here. So funny stuff like that. We've also just started using this application called Neighbors. So I touched on it earlier, but it's in partnership with Ring cameras. So Ring cameras are those cameras that I talked about that will work on your doorbell. They'll replace your doorbell. And through that app, we're able to get messages out to the community. But more importantly, if one of those cameras captures a crime in progress or captures a specific suspicious subject, the users of that app are able to send those videos to the police department so we can take a look at them and either help determine if a crime has occurred, or if we see somebody suspicious in one camera at one house, chances are that person is doing something suspicious or illegal in other parts of the neighborhood. So you don't necessarily have to have a Ring product to use this Neighbors app, but it is really cool and it's been super helpful so far. So if you have a smartphone, iPhone or Android, you could download Neighbors. Another really cool thing that we use is called Nixel. So if you are on your phone and you text your zip code to 888-777, you'll sign up for Nixel alerts. And generally, when we push out press releases, or there's something critical that happens, or you know, there's a storm warning or something like that, we send those messages out via text message. So you'll be notified right away that something is happening through your phone.
So they just have to text 888-777?
Correct. So send your zip code. So in Seal Beach, it's 90740 to 888-777, and you'll be automatically signed up for alerts.
Very good. Now, how can seniors help others? Because especially now they feel helpless. So how can they help others and help the police department too?
Yeah. So unfortunately, with this pandemic that we've been experiencing, one of the things that we're concerned about is, our senior citizens. We want to make sure that they're being looked after and their emotional and mental, as well as their physical needs, are being met. So in Seal Beach, we have a ton of different programs. We have Meals on Wheels programs. We have programs where if you feel lonely, or you know, you just need somebody to talk to, there's hotlines. You call a city employee and just chat for a little bit. So that's been super fun to talk to people. But I think how seniors can help each other is just be good neighbors. And I think that's something that's lost on a lot of people in certain communities. You know, in Seal Beach, we have a very, very tight-knit community. People know their neighbors and they talk to their neighbors. And when they're going out of the town, they'll say, hey, you know, can you keep an eye on my house just to make sure nothing weird happens? Or if they see an unusual car in the neighborhood, or they see something out of the place, They'll check with the neighbors and then call us. So I'd really encourage you to get to know your neighbors, get to know especially the seniors in your neighborhood, and look out for one another. That's the best thing. There's a theory that we learn about in school. It's called the routine activity theory. And basically, it's like a three-legged stool. If you take any one of those legs away, the stool will fall. So one of the legs is, in order to have a crime, you need these three things. In order for the stool to stand, you need three legs. In order for a crime to occur, you need these three things. The first one is a likely offender. And as we discussed previously, there's plenty of people out there that are willing to take advantage of people and are willing to commit crimes. Mm-hmm. The second thing you need is the absence of a capable guardian. That means that there's not somebody out there that's protecting either yourself or your property or your home. So as proactive as I think a lot of police departments are, there's only so many black and white patrol cars out on the street. So sometimes there is an absence of a capable guardian. And then the last thing, and I think the most important thing, is a suitable target. So again, it's a likely offender, it's the absence of a capable guardian, and it's a suitable target. If any one of those things are missing, there's no crime. If all of those things occur in the same place and at the same time, there's going to be a crime. So a suitable target, that means we want you to harden the target. What do we mean by that? Well, like I said, install cameras in your home, lock your doors, remove your valuables, install security lights, install lighting around your house at night, keep a porch light on, stuff like that. So it makes your home or your property less attractive to criminals. Not much we can do unless we talk about big societal changes for likely offenders, but because sometimes there are absences of capable guardians, even in the most proactive departments, we can't be everywhere at once. This is where seniors have to help each other out. So there's, aside from just talking to your neighbors and getting to know your community, there's a lot of different things we can do. In Seal Beach, we have a very robust volunteers in policing services called our VIPs. Some of them are senior citizens. I'd say the majority of them are senior citizens who are retired and want to give back to their community. Some of them are not. Some of them are younger. Some of them are working. But they do so much for the police department. They help take care of our fleet. They man our substation down by the pier. They really act as such a tremendous help to all of the officers and all of the professional staff that we have at the police department. So to find out more about that, look for the Seal Beach Police Department's website. It's www.sealbeachca.gov, and then navigate to the police department page and the volunteers page. There's a ton of volunteer opportunities there, like the volunteers and policing services. There's the CERT, the Community Emergency Response Team, and a few other volunteer programs for people who want to get involved in giving back to their community. It's not unique to Seal Beach. I know a lot of our neighboring agencies also have volunteer programs and are part of the CERT team. So look those up in your community, because not only is it a really good way to get to know the community, but often we go over safety tips like this. We'll have meetings. We'll have basically the equivalent of neighborhood watch meetings where we discuss safety tips or how to harden the target, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good way to give back to the community, get to know your community, and make yourself a little bit safer. That's one of the really good ways that people can volunteer. Sometimes if there's not necessarily a formal program at police departments, somebody might be able to volunteer like as an office aide at a police department or a fire department. I can't tell you that enough that, you know, our budgets are often stretched so thin and we're expected to do more and more and more with less and less money, that if people want to come in and volunteer, we'll almost certainly take your help, because we could definitely need it.
Oh, that's great to know. Now, did you say the volunteers that work for the police department are called VIPs?
They are called VIPs. Mm-hmm. That's what we call them in Seal Beach. In other police departments, they're called different things, but they really are our VIPs because they do so much for us.
Oh, that's great. And then as far as that hotline number for seniors, can you provide that number?
Yeah, you know what? I don't have it in front of me, but I'll be able to give it to you when we're done with this, and you can give that to your listeners.
Okay, sure. We'll put it in the little summary. So that'd be great. And any closing thoughts or quotes or sayings that you'd like to part with?
I think the most important thing is just be aware of your surroundings. You know, always take a moment to just think about things before giving your information out to the public. And when in doubt, call us. We are resources for everyone in the community. And, you know, we've gotten calls about things that are completely unrelated to police work. You know, somebody needs help changing a light bulb. We'll come out. We want to help take care of people. So if you ever need, or if there's any questions, please do not hesitate to call us. Oh, and probably the most important thing is, obviously, if there's a life or death emergency, call 911. But you should also know your local agency's non-emergency telephone number too. That will get you right to a dispatcher that doesn't tie up the 911 system.
Okay, great. Well, wonderful. Thank you so much, Sergeant Nicholas, for taking the time to share with us to help our seniors in the community.
You're
welcome.
Have
a wonderful day.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks.